Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already.
Broadcasting from the Lush But Not Lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude. This is Real Spoilers, episode 771.
That's it.
I did the math right because I was out last
week.
Well,
you thought it was 770, so you did it wrong, but it ended up being
okay.
Right.
Yeah,
so.
Hey, as long it doesn't matter if you're right for the wrong reason.
That's right.
If marriage has taught me anything. So anyway, Black Mirror dream scenario.
Boy. Skip it.
What's that?
This movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's funny. Well, I love this movie.
Yeah, this movie's great.
I think I know.
Can't take it back. I love when Joe says his opinion first.
I think I know why, though.
Okay.
But we'll get into it.
But this is our job now.
Because it's about a bald guy?
No.
This is our job now. For the next hour, we have 1 hour to change Joe's mind.
To turn me around?
Yes, to change
I love it when Joe's opinion changes by the end of the movie. It's like,
so. But it was very much a Black Mirror episode.
Yes.
So, like, it, you know.
Yes.
So there is that. So, well, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. The band is back together. And
this actually made it.
In a physical location.
I got to tell you.
Welcome back to the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't ever leave, because trying to do that opening from memory is the worst.
Yeah, I see.
It
is not as easy as I make it look.
Joe took it on it's the first time he's ever done it on the proper show. And for Patreon, he goes, hey, you know the drill. All right, let's go.
I don't have to do all that stuff.
That's not the intro to the proper show.
No, that's so. What did you say? Because you
the
were
radioactive
not,
bunker.
You did, is that what you did?
Yeah.
Okay, because
yeah.
I was like, you weren't at the
No, we were not at
Institute,
the, so. We were not. We were back in the bunker, sort
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
Kind
of. I took on the League of Show Sharers that
you
I
did.
Whipped up real quick.
Oh, yeah. That's good, because they did not go back in time.
No, so. No. I did the 2 weeks.
Well, thank you.
Or tried to, at least.
So, speaking of, let's dig into shameless plugs real quick. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, YouTube. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. It's good for our egos, which could use the help.
To comment
right now,
about
yeah.
Elvis
yeah.
if you want.
Holy guacamole, brother.
That would
the
be a
Elvis
whole show.
People are
I cannot,
still going.
It, that thing's up to like 3,500 views.
And we just got a comment now. What's it been, a month? I mean, yes. We just got a comment about how you guys were wrong
oh
again.
Oh my God. It's so crazy. I'm actually.
You weren't there.
Yeah, you didn't know who's the real pedophile. Like, well. The guy that had sex with a 14-year-old, I'm pretty sure, is the
He did not have sex with her when she was 14. No. He was not. So he's not a pedophile. He's
Fair.
Just a groomer.
He's a creeper.
He's a groomer. Yeah. Subtle but important distinction. All the people who are so scared about kids reading a book.
Yeah, right.
Teachers grooming kids. And like, well, Elvis, that's different. His music
yeah, but who's great. Who's the real one?
So he, great. It's okay because he's... Because his music's so good.
I love the one. I think there's one in there that, like... vehemently debunks the Mary Tyler Moore thing. There's one where she's like, there's no, of course he had sex with Mary Tyler Moore. It's like, okay, Whatever, man. Like, whatever. Well,
they,
delusional.
They are listening to the whole thing.
They
though.
Must have.
That's what is impressive, because they weren't just doing that thing where they jump on a video and instantly are like, no, downvote,
no,
whatever.
They listen,
like,
to the. They listen to the. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, they're calling out every little thing you said. One of the. It's called hate listening.
The host pretend like they know what Lisa Marie was feeling when her dad died. She blah blah blah. I was like, holy dude, like,
oh, I'm sorry. Was I out of line to assume she had grief?
or how she feels about the portrayal of her father in this movie? Oh. Maybe it's a little weird for her to see that on screen.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah. So, yes, absolutely. Whatever drives the algorithm. Yeah. That's all we care about anymore. So it's all about the algorithm.
That's what we'll be known for now is our Elvis podcast.
That one and real spoilers. Or real, real, no, what was
I
the...
I hope we're known for real spoilers. Yes.
RIPD.
Oh, jeez, that RIPD, that second episode that had the wrong audio or whatever.
Yes.
It was like episode 4, but it was the RIPD audio. Because it was like two guns, but it was RIPD or something.
And it had like...
And it had tens of thousands.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there. I have no idea.
Some bot got a hold of it.
Fine.
The people love two guns.
Yes. Yeah, they do love two guns. Or Paula, whatever, Patton. Paula Patton is in that movie.
Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington
and Paula Patton.
I could not tell you anything about that movie, the plot. Do you remember? What's the plot of that? Two Guns?
Paula Patton.
Okay.
As far as I can get you. It's gun meets gun, and they fall in love.
Spy versus spy.
And then gun loses gun.
Dear Mr. and Mrs. Smith is getting a remake?
A remake or a sequel?
Remake.
Remake with Donald Glover.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if I can get Donald
Glover. Is that a show? Too?
Yeah, it's a show.
That's fine. I'll take Donald
Prime,
I think. I think that guy's great. Yeah.
He is great.
Same.
Yeah.
So anyway, shameless plugs. Don't forget, you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers while you're there. Like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares because we're hoping you will share an episode. Matt Reedy must be a juggernaut because we got shared like crazy last week.
Godzilla, so the power of Godzilla.
That's right. I'll be leaving the show and Matt will take over.
Like reopened again. Did you see that?
They,
like,
they expanded it to more screens because it's doing so well.
It was
well.
Supposedly so supposed to be like a 1 week engagement.
And
they were like, we'll bring this foreign film over. You know, there's a decent Godzilla crowd. There's nothing playing on IMAX. We'll pop it up there for a week. And then the thing is,
they got pushed out of IMAX.
They're
right?
expanding it. Well, they would have to be because they're expanding it to 2,500 screens.
But I think Beyonce knocked it out.
Probably. Yeah.
But it gets to live on as opposed to the 1 week,
which
and
is
then
fantastic.
Digital.
So,
and it deserves it. Go listen to that episode. Please, for the love of God, listen to that episode.
For Kevin's sake.
I have never... That episode took more work than any episode in the history. It was a...
clusterfuck.
It was a comedy of errors. It just, one thing after another happened. It had to do with technical difficulties. It ended up Matt did not record his audio.
Yeah.
But great, we have an online backup. But the backup didn't upload. But wait, there's another backup, and it kind of works. Let's splice all of these different things together. Oh, my gosh.
For a minute there, we thought that we might just do Godzilla Minus One again,
but with
me instead of Matt.
right.
Yeah, so.
Did you see it?
No, I have not seen it.
So did you hear?
If you can make it to the theater.
Yeah.
If you recall, when I saw the trailer, I was like, that looked awesome.
But if you can see it on the big screen, I mean, if you have any chance to just sneak away and see it, like, obviously it'll be fun to watch at home, but the big screen with the audio, I mean, it really, that's a movie for the theater.
So Jason, you know, we talked about at the end of that movie, this isn't really a spoiler, but like the butterfly tattoo.
Yeah. The monarch that you said, that you joked about, right?
Jason from Binge Movies chimed in and sent me a DM, said, she's going to be Mothra. And I didn't even put that together.
Huh. Okay.
I mean, it's the same style of like thing. Like, right. I was like, wait a minute. Explain to me how they're going to turn a human being into a moth. He's like, I don't know, but
it's science fiction.
It's science fiction. It's Godzilla. They could do anything.
There you go.
Like, it's,
but yes, yes, please go for Kevin's
please.
Sake.
If that's our lowest listened to episode, I swear. Because you know how it is. Elvis gets a trillion views.
A movie we almost didn't do.
Yeah. Right.
And you're like, who cares about this?
Did it without me.
Little did we know.
Didn't take any work to put up there.
Right.
Goes out.
We didn't pick up any new listeners because they all hate us.
That's true. But, maybe they'll just hate listening to us.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So also, people who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Douglas Baldock, Julianne Jordan, Jason McLean, Tammy Lynn Powers-Betts, Brendan McGuckin, Chris Magic Man, Glenn Cougar Mellon, Colin Brewer, Ralph Tribble, Gabriel Lugo, Tom Dowdy, Travis Tewitt, Chris Falls, Chris Sanders, Richard Kratzer, Lane Levanway, Dissect That Film, Heather Sachs, Brent Smith, Invasion of the Remake, The Film Bee, In Session Film, Feelin' Film, Mike and Oscar, Geek to Me Radio, Ryan Terry, Ronnie Castle, Colby Mack, Matt Naglia, Binge Movies, and of course, me.
Hey, so, you made it.
I made it. So anyway, also don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/$5 or slash
the, $5
slash real spoilers. Do where it. For $5 you can get all sorts of bonus content and we like you extra. So
yeah,
there's all that. Let's dig into Dream Scenario.
I think you liked this because this was like a pseudo what you're we're a Woody Allen fan, right?
If I'm still allowed to say that, he has some movies that I greatly enjoyed.
Talking about getting canceled.
Yeah, that's true. I think I didn't like this movie because I don't like Woody Allen.
So wait, are you saying the character reminds you of Woody Allen and the situation or the movie itself reminds you of a Woody Allen movie?
I think all of that until the thing changes. When the dreams change, it's a different movie.
Yeah.
But I think the neuroticism and the... like not being able to talk to the professor woman or not being able to really be like legit intimate with his wife. Like just the whole character. I feel like if this movie was made 30 years ago, this is a Woody Allen movie.
Hmm. This reminds me a lot more of something like Punch Drunk Love.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could, but to me,
the Punch Drunk, and the character
Punch Drunk
and
Love
things...
also feels like in that Woody Allen world.
Yeah, like see, it doesn't remind me of like the kind of characters that Woody Allen would play just because the Woody Allen characters
were confident.
Were
right?
like yeah, they were this archetype that I refer to as like the brave coward.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like he'd be scared of things, but he would also he couldn't help himself to have like some witty comeback put
That's
down
fair.
Or and so like this character doesn't have that
ever
yeah. And so I have a hard time classifying it in quite the same way.
That's fair. Maybe that was the problem though.
I get what's resonating with you in that regard, especially if you haven't seen a lot of Woody Allen movies. Especially
I've seen the important ones.
Especially anything like Annie Hall and before.
Yes, I've seen that stuff. Yeah. That's the stuff I've watched.
Yeah, that's to me, I think that's for the most part.
Joe exclusively watches videos since he left the country. He only watches his new stuff they make.
Yeah,
out of the
country. No, I don't know old stuff.
I only see the stuff that's in French.
This movie really would be a good double feature with Beau Is Afraid. This has a
if
very
that's
much
the case, and I'm glad I didn't see that movie,
which I still have not seen.
But I mean, just the whole like weird things happening and bad stuff happening to a guy and which again I'll bring up After Hours, which is one of my favorite Scorsese movies.
You know who produced this?
Who?
Ari Aster.
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
This is very much like 90s art house movie. This is very much being John Malkovich. Yeah.
I will absolutely.
It's Kaufman-esque for sure. I mean, there's influence. He did that movie Adaptation
with Nicholson.
Yeah.
With Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Adaptation.
What was the Nicholas? Right?
Charlie Kaufman?
Well, yeah, but what was the Jack Nicholson one?
Oh, I don't know.
Wasn't it Adaptation?
No.
No.
What's the one with him with like the plant on his head? Like he's lit. About Schmidt?
About Schmidt. That's Alexander Payne.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
But this feels very Andy Kaufman, Ari Aster for newer.
Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah, not Andy Kaufman.
I'm sorry. Well.
Maybe, yeah. But
it's pretty good.
It's definitely got a John Malkovich, Eternal Sunshine, the Spotless Mind kind of
I'll absolutely
going on,
agree
yeah.
with that.
I love this movie, too. I thought it was great. Nicolas Cage... this movie...
What a crazy year
was,
for that guy.
But this movie was so made for him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how could anyone but Nicolas Cage... I mean, this was him in real life. If you think about his career... I mean, he used to be A-list movie star.
Right.
Sure.
And then people started cutting his videos of him being wackadoo, like just pulling one scene out of a movie.
Where do you think
And he became a joke. And then everyone was watching him and sharing the stuff. He instantly, overnight... transformed from like not instantly, but it seemed instantaneous that it was like Nicolas Cage movie star to Nicolas Cage crazy wackadoo actor, and then him having to like
where do you think that
redemption.
Line is?
I mean,
is there a line?
The line is if it works,
okay,
right?
True.
I mean, it really just comes down to that. I mean, Nicolas Cage has always taken big swings,
yeah, sure,
and sometimes. It works. Sometimes it's Raising Arizona.
So good.
But you got to give it to the guy. He never phones it in.
No, I mean, and
he is 100%.
But like his performances are definitely one of a kind. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's similar to Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow, right? Like, that's a big swing.
Yeah.
If that didn't work, we'd be
making fun of it.
If that didn't work, it would be the Lone Ranger.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, part of the problem with that for Johnny Depp is that when it worked,
it smashed. Yeah.
He thought he could do it over and over and over again.
Yeah, right? Crazy hearted it.
But you're not wrong. He kept taking these wild big swings with diminishing returns.
Yeah.
And then it just became all the other stuff.
Do you think he can pull that nose up? No pun intended.
I don't know.
I don't think he can.
Yeah. Getting into this movie, I feel like that, like, you know, obviously we should get into the movie itself so we can talk about the themes of the movie, because it's very much about cancel culture. And my concern is that the right is going to glob onto this movie,
which is the whole end of this movie.
Right.
It's just like, yeah.
Because I watched it and I was like, well, this is the next step that you basically have to go be a right wing zealot because they.
You won't have anywhere else to go.
If they hated you before, once you get canceled, they will love you.
Right.
Even though they used to hate
and you. We'll talk about when we get there, but this just happened to someone very popular.
Did it?
Yeah, we'll get there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, there's something very timely, and this movie was obviously in the can. It had premiered before this all went down, so it's like not a reaction, but it's like this movie is so spot on about how people that are canceled handle things.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. So
stay tuned. That's to keep you listening.
Yes, that's right. That's a teaser.
That's what we call it.
So Nicolas Cage plays this kind of humdrum, very bland, very boring professor named Paul. And his
he's Walter White. This movie has a couple references that are very similar.
I was thinking the same thing. The movie
opens with one of the most famous scenes of Breaking Bad.
Why do you think he's Walter? Oh, because he is kind of humdrum and
Walter White was the partner of a startup that became this huge company.
They stole his ideas.
He left, and now he's trying to be something, but he's a nobody. I mean, Walter White's a high school chemistry teacher
who aspired
for greatness and is clawing back, trying to do something great. I can't help but think.
That's
and then the opening scene is there's basically an airplane. I mean, you don't see an airplane, but bodies are falling into a pool. Keys are dropping and breaking a table. Like that scene in Breaking Bad.
I've never seen Breaking Bad.
Okay, but there's a famous opening of a season.
Do yourself a favor.
One of the greatest shows ever made.
Yeah, like it's ever. So like, it good. Is,
But there's a scene, I mean, this isn't really a spoiler, but a season opens with this like cold open and stuff is falling out and you find out it's from a plane, which I mean, makes sense, but stuff is just dropping into a backyard and there's stuff all over a pool. And so it just, there's a couple things.
That's pretty spot on to what happens in this movie.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I couldn't help but notice that there has to be some inspiration because the character is very much...
Yeah, he looks similar to Walter White.
I guess if you hadn't seen it, that makes sense.
But I know what he looks like.
That happens in the show.
Didn't we watch the the pseudo like sequel to the show?
Did you watch Did we review El Camino?
We did review.
And you've never seen Break.
Oh my God.
I guess we presumed.
Been nothing in that for you.
There was nothing.
We presumed you've seen the show. That ending scene
is really good of him and of, I always call him Jesse Paul. What's his name?
Jesse Plemons?
Jesse the character.
Jesse the character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Jesse Plemons was in the show, I guess.
Yeah, that's why I thought. Yeah.
But like that scene in the garage when he's trying to like get out of the garage. I think that scene's great.
Yeah.
But no, I was just like, I'm just watching this movie.
That's hilarious that you'd never seen that show. And it's like fought like an extra episode.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yes. So there's a girl sitting in outside and we see Nicolas Cage kind of like sweeping up leaves and we see keys like fall and crash through a table and then a body smashes into the pool and then the girl's freaking out and he's just standing there sweeping the leaves and we smash cut to her explaining what this dream is, and this is where we kind of get an idea of the complete emasculation of this character by his own hand, where he says he's like, I didn't do anything in the dream. And his daughter was like, nope, just stood there. He's
just
like,
stood there.
I didn't help you or anything. She's like, no. He's like, oh, okay.
I didn't take it so much of as an emasculation, though, as just a feeling incompetent. Like, it's not so much like I'm a man and I have to, but like not I'm a man and I have to protect you. But it's just, I feel like it's like.
I guess to me, it's in this situation, that's kind of a distinction without a difference.
Okay.
You know? Because, I mean, when we get to the scene with him and the professor where he's like begging her to get credit on the thing that she stole. You know, like,
especially when his wife is like, you need to record this. And he's like, I don't want to. And then he does. And then he lies about having recorded it because he looks like such a pussy.
Oh, man. It's like, it is hard to hear it. Listen to.
Yeah.
Where he's just like crying and begging to.
Yeah, I really need this.
Oh. It's like, oh.
I just took it more of that he's just such a. Like
worm,
yeah, it, yeah, right, right. And it's, I'm not saying you're wrong, but it just like it goes beyond a gender.
He's not a bad dude,
no,
right? But, like, but he's very weak. Yeah, I just don't, like,
he's got
like,
no backbone. Yeah,
yeah.
Like that's every time somebody calls somebody a worm, I think of Mystery Science Theater. He's like, you remember me, the wormy guy. he goes to like a play, and we see like a guy off to the side, and there was a movie that we had seen where. These things start like people are focusing on our main character, but you're not really sure why, right?
Hereditary. Maybe it was, it's Ari Aster's maybe
it is
Hereditary.
Maybe that's true. It is Hereditary. Because I was thinking it follows
second,
as well.
On the second watch, you see the people from the cult,
yes,
always kind of in the background watching.
Right. We see the naked guy in the room. We find out is like a, you know, yeah, spoilers for Hereditary. So now Paul. Is he has this meeting with this professor, and these two work together in college, and she has basically stolen his idea. He wants to get published, but he can't get published because nobody gives a fuck.
And he's not actually doing the writing.
Correct.
Right? Like he
came up with an idea.
Yeah. Right. And they expounded on it. They really hasn't done anything.
No.
She tells him there's a difference between having an idea and doing the work, and they've been working out for 10 years.
And she's now in like a prestigious university and
what is his idea called? Ants?
Intelligence.
Because of the way ants work together. So he's a evolutionary biologist?
Something like that, yeah.
And
yeah.
So but he gives this speech at the beginning of the movie about zebras and how it's strange because different animals adapt in different ways, and usually it's like camouflage so predators can't spot them. But zebras, they are white and black stripes. They stand out, but they blend in amongst each other. And so he's going through life, I take it as a zebra, where he is just another person. He's walking through life.
That's a good call.
Nothing to stand out, you know, at the beginning at least.
I can appreciate that. Yeah. And that's like, I was into this movie for until the turn.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh God, as his life is going, they go to this play and his ex-girlfriend shows up and just kind of like, hey, I've been meaning to talk to you. Like I've been dreaming about you. I've been trying to.
And the wife don't like it.
The wife don't like it.
Understandably,
which makes sense.
So.
Yeah. And all like it's crazy. You know, I think all he has to do is be like, "No, thanks."
Yeah.
But this man craves attention so badly. He would never think of, oh, well, this is going to make my wife mad, so I'm going to like play it cooler and be like, oh, okay, yeah, no, this. But like, he's like, somebody wants to talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's how desperate he is for some kind of fulfillment in his life, because he wants to be special.
Right. And he's not.
Yeah. He's
just not.
He's not a bad person, like Tom said, but it's just, he's not doing major research and getting published. He wants to write a book, but hasn't even started it. And
he's got a nice, solid middle class existence.
Yeah, I gotta tell you.
And he wants more, but he doesn't know how to get it.
Yeah. I guarantee he ain't paying off that house. Because the wife says, I grew up in this house. That house is paid off. And that's a nice ass house.
It is.
So they go to the play, they meet the girlfriend, the ex-girlfriend, and he agrees to meet her, but it's very awkward because he does keep looking at his wife, and he's like, instead of taking her social cues,
like he knows it's upsetting her, but he can't help himself.
Correct.
He's drawn to the attention,
and the wife, it's kind of funny. Cause that woman was on Law and Order Criminal Intent for a long time. Yeah.
The wife.
Yes.
What's her name?
Yeah. But she was also in, what was the Stephen King miniseries with Bateman and
The Outsider?
She's Bateman's wife in The Outsider.
Oh, okay. She
Outsider.
Was also in HBO's Mayor of Easttown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. She was the sister, right?
Yeah, she's
Julianne
like,
Nicholson?
Yeah.
Yes. She played Vincent D'Onofrio's partner when the other one left for got pregnant or something and left the show. So they have this interaction with each other in the bed. And again, like
the wife and Paul.
Yeah, sorry, the wife and just Paul. Well, I mean, we'll get to that later.
Janet and Paul.
Just the most boring names as well. So they have
damn it, Janet.
Damn it, Janet.
I love you.
Can't have an exciting name like Joe.
Hey, There's more. It's not hereditary. It's
assigned
familial.
Unlike gender, it's assigned at birth. <That's
right. laughs> Oh, Jesus. Here we go. But also, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
So both fronts.
But you can change it if you want.
If you want.
But everyone will struggle calling you the new thing. That's
true. So they have this conversation. Is this where they have the conversation about her dream?
Well, he says, what would your fantasy be?
Because at this point he's starting to realize he's popping up in people's dreams,
right?
And he doesn't understand why.
And he says, because he wants acceptance, he wants to feel like people think about him, and this is his wife, and he's like, do you ever dream about me? And she's like, no.
And then, you're right here, what do I
and, yeah and she, well she starts to question the movie, and that may be later, but she questions like, why don't you think I dream about you? And he's like, because you get the real deal, baby. Like,
that's
he's
right.
being so, he's and so, I do, and I such do a goof, like, because he's not cool.
No, he's not cool, but I do like their interact. Like, I think that in these moments, I think they're very good together.
Yeah.
Where she's talking about, can you just be like naked on a horse with a big pecan? And he's like, mirror the horse. And I was like, that's a good line.
It's well written. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should say, so the writer director of this movie, this may be his first feature. I saw he did a lot of short films. Christopher Borgley or Borgley. And
Moonlot over some of those letters?
No, but it's like a GLI.
Yeah.
But, he wrote and direct this movie, and it's
got some good stuff in it. I'm not gonna completely.
I was impressed for sure. Like, I guess maybe he's done one other feature, Sick of Myself, but
this may be his
first American.
That's what happened with the Girl with Dragon Tattoo, though.
Yeah.
Like, that popped over in Sweden, I think.
Yeah.
And then came over here. So he goes on this lunch date.
Well, yeah, he thinks it might be a date.
And I do, man, her reaction, look, that I write about things like this, like I write for a blog. And he's like, oh, so you're published too? Yeah. And she's just like, I mean, kind of. Like, and she downplays it as well. She's like, nobody really reads it.
You know, this doofus, he could start a blog if he wants to.
All he had to do.
He could write his book. He could start a blog. It's so easy. I don't want to say so easy.
Start
I
a podcast.
Any moron can do that.
But it's like, not to undermine, and obviously we do these things, so I'm not knocking it, but it's just, it takes effort, but getting started, it's like going to the gym, right? It's getting started, doing it is the hardest part. And this guy has spent so much time dwelling over and obsessing over people wanting to be interested in, oh, I wish I could just write my book and all this. And it's like, dude, if you just spent
just
the doing it, which is what a lot of people do, right? They spend more time.
Well, we did that at the beginning, right? Like, how long do we talk about the show? And finally, it was just like, look, we just need to do it.
Yes.
And it won't be what we want it to be, but we'll get it to where we want it to be. We're still trying.
Yeah, recording episode one and then listening to it and like, okay, well, now we're forced to fix it. Instead of figuring out how to make it perfect, do it, and then now we know episode two is coming up next week. We have to fix it and make it better.
Yes.
But anyway, this guy just will not jump into the things he wants to do.
No, he's too timid.
But he dwells on, why aren't people publishing me and liking me and asking me for help, inviting me to dinner? He has fancy friends, and he has all these other guests over and everything, but he will not get invited
because he's not
interesting enough to go to dinner and talk with these.
That guy also says, he's like, he is just the most boring. He's like, he's not a bad guy. He's just boring.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, hole of charisma.
Yeah, when he has people over that are these international, whatever.
Like psychiatrists
at a dinner
smart
party.
People.
What's he going to say? And he's going to say something about like ants or whatever.
Or
and
zebras.
And then it's going to be crickets.
Yes.
Or he'll try, like, you see moments where he tries to be funny and engaging, and it's just cringe inducing.
Yes.
Like when he pretends like when they show up to the party and nobody else is there, and he's like, more for us, and he takes the wine, and he's like, glug, 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 glug.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my God, please stop talking.
It's so cringy, but like,
it's embarrassing to recreate.
yes, correct.
But Nicolas Cage is fantastic in this role. Yeah. Like, that's the character.
Oh, yeah.
And he's doing it perfectly.
For sure.
And also, you know, and I listened to some interviews, and he said when he read this, he said the script was perfect. I didn't want to change anything. You know, he basically said to the director, like, you know, I'm your puppet. Tell me where to go. I'm going to do it. He loved the script. He said this is one of five scripts that when he read were perfect, and Raising Arizona was on there and some others. And he's like, this is among
Face Off,
of course, you know.
National Treasure 2.
Yeah. Was it? Bad Lieutenant 2 in Port of New Orleans
Bad
or
Lieutenant.
Whatever? No, he did something called Bad Lieutenant 2.
Bad Lieutenant is Harvey Keitel. Bad Lieutenant 2 is Nicolas
Cage. Port of New Orleans.
I thought that was a remake.
No, it's a sequel.
I had no idea that was a sequel. Anyway. But so, yeah, so he goes to this lunch and she basically says, can I write about this? And he was like, sure, fine. And then he makes like a little joke and she's like, what's the problem? And he's like, my wife thought that you were going to try to rekindle the
art. And I love how,
and she's like,
I love
what?
How matter
no.
of fact, she's like, why would she think that?
Yeah. And so he's like, that's ridiculous.
And he's like, yeah.
But, but you're disgusting.
Yeah, right. It's just,
you're a not monster.
Even not even disgusting. It's like, but there's, like, she doesn't say this, but this is the vibe. Like, oh, but there's nothing sexual
correct.
About you.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You're not gross. And you just cease to exist in the spectrum of sexuality.
Right,
and,
right.
And I don't believe...
like
again,
a Ken doll.
I do think this guy, at least in the beginning, and for most of the movie, but I do think he's a good guy. I don't think he went to this lunch looking to have an affair.
Right, I agree.
He wants someone to want to have an affair with him.
He doesn't want to cheat on his wife. He just wants someone to want to cheat
yes.
with him.
Right.
Right?
Like, correct.
And, so, like, this guy's not a sleazebag.
Which it's is just, part of what makes this performance so great is because that's a really delicate line to
oh,
walk
absolutely.
As an actor. The idea of like, I want to know I could cheat on my wife, but I don't want to cheat on my wife.
Right.
Because if it's another actor that maybe doesn't give such a nuanced performance, that doesn't play it the right way, you're like, they're a scumbag.
Right.
They're a creep.
Yeah, this is Bradley Cooper. Like,
well,
this is,
I mean,
it's
yeah, I could
story,
definitely see
you know
it could
saying?
Be a
like,
little, yeah.
It's a very different story. So...
You just have that thing against Bradley Cooper.
I love Bradley Cooper.
I know, but...
Oh. But he is, I mean...
It's hard not to see him as the bro, the whatever, yeah. but he's expanded upon
oh,
that a little
sure.
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
yeah.
see what you mean,
yeah.
though, yeah. Because he did start off like Wedding Crashers playing the
Wedding
douche,
Crashers right. and The Hangover. The
right.
Hangover is the same character, just likable.
See, my first interaction with Bradley Cooper was on a show called Jack and Bobby, where he was like the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, really?
And so, like, when I saw him in The Hangover and Wedding Crashers, I was just like, I still had like residual likeness for him,
sure, sure.
right? Like, I was just like, oh, but he's okay.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Yeah,
yeah. So she publishes the article, and then all of a sudden, Paul's Facebook messages are blowing up and it's like, you know, I'm dreaming about you. Like, why is it you? What is it about you? And his popularity, much like an internet meme, just explodes.
And he loves it.
Oh,
he loves
yes. He walks in
the wife is like, maybe you should just like not respond. Don't look at, you know, whatever. And he's like, why? But,
right.
You know, he's just getting so excited.
Don't
just
great. They love me.
Don't do the interviews. Like, just let it be. He walks into his class and his class is filled with people
and they're cheering for him.
Right.
And then he's like, okay, you know, not all you guys are here for this lecture. Like half of them raised their hands there. And he's like, okay, we're going to spend 5 minutes. You can ask me anything. Then you got to go and we're going to get into class. And then he just starts fielding questions.
Yeah.
And right. then he's like, okay, next. And he loves it. I mean, again, but, and that's the whole thing with this guy is that he just wants, you know, it's not like he's.
And how do you not?
It's human nature,
no,
right?
That's
right,
course.
Right, right, right.
Like, of course. When Crystal and I were in London, like, we're leaving the Peloton Studio. There's a line of people to get in waiting for the next class. And, like, people in the line recognize us.
Sure.
And want to talk to us and take pictures. Like, yeah.
Of course.
Like, hey, how do you not?
You gotta. Right.
How do you not love
that?
But
know? some people naturally just get that and don't ask for it. Some people seek that out.
Yeah.
Some people don't care. You know, there's different types of people. But Paul would love for people to
yes.
want to talk to him.
Fawn over him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just, but again, I think that it's the meaning goes so much deeper back into his past because he feels like he should have been someone. He should be a researcher. He should be publishing papers.
Right.
Right. He feels he's stuck at like, see, Walter White is a high school chemistry teacher. Paul at least is a tenured professor at
right.
a decent university. Right. So like he has more going for him even than Walter White does.
Yeah.
But like he's still, that's not what his goal was.
No.
His goal was to be an expert that is being invited to dinner parties and speaking and lecturing and all this. So,
and it's not happening.
No.
No, he's got this very like
but now,
vanilla life.
But now people want to talk to him and want to take pictures with
his
him.
His kids want him to drive them to school.
Right, that's a big one, right?
You know?
Can't relate
I mean,
to
this
the...
is ultimately his dream scenario, right?
Like, yes.
Yeah. He's famous and he didn't have to do anything.
Nope. He
right?
just
like,
shows
he didn't...
up in people's dreams.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think also, of course, there's a big cancel culture component, but this is also about the virality of fame on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And the ups and the downs, right? You can become famous overnight. You can also become infamous overnight.
Right.
Yeah. How many of those TikTokers are the ones that are just like, you know, when somebody says something dumb on an airplane, there's a video of it, and they dox the shit out of those people.
Or that lady who... this has been a few years, but she like was going to Africa and she was like going to Africa, tweeting,
yeah,
going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS. Oh, wait, it gets worse. LOL, I'll be okay. I'm white.
Oh, and boy.
Plane takes off. No internet service.
Plane takes off on her flight to Africa, uh-huh, which is like a 12-hour flight. And in the meantime, this tweet goes viral. Oh, and she lands literally to like a press contingent. And she's like,
she's like fired from her job.
Yeah. And like it's
for something dumb.
Yeah.
And it's insensitive and not thinking clearly.
Trying to make an edgy joke, yeah, and like missing the mark.
You ain't the one, lady.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how fast it can.
And dealing with that kind of fame, right? Because most human beings are not equipped for that kind of fame. And so you see these A-list celebrities and some of them do things that seem crazy and whatever, but it's like, you don't understand unless you're under.
Man, I see what happens with Crystal's phone when she posts something on Instagram. And like, and she's got like, I don't know, 80,000 followers. So like a good number.
But imagine having 16 million followers.
But imagine
followers.
Being even like Patton Oswalt.
Sure.
Right. You know? Well, right.
And I see like, I mean, she'll be trying to do something else on her phone and it's just like, she can't do it because there's
Kevin,
so many
your phone's not going on.
Notifications coming.
Oh, sorry. I was just getting, yeah. Yeah. No, but I, you know, someone like, let's look at Patton Oswalt, who Patton Oswalt is an A-list celebrity. He's a very famous actor, but he's not like A-list.
Oh, I thought you said he is. I was like, no, he's not.
No,
I love Patton Oswalt, but like, he doesn't open a movie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he isn't, but he has 4.5 million followers. Okay, here's one from last month. But like, he tweets this thing about adopting a cat, and it has 6,000 likes, and has 104 quote tweets and 121 retweets or whatever you want to call them these days. But just think about how much your phone is blowing up on that level,
right?
And how you have to filter through things that you maybe need to see, definitely things that you can ignore and shouldn't see, and respond or whatever. You know, just managing things on that level, and so.
I'm assuming at that level, you're using some sort of social media management interface
so it doesn't
take over your phone.
Just destroy
in the same
your
way.
Notifications are going
and
off.
And then you go into that app to deal
for
with
sure.
Oh, okay.
Is That's my fair. Guess.
But Paul, instantly, he gets the fame that he's looking for overnight.
He's doing TV interviews.
Yeah. He's going to go on Colbert. Like,
people are recognizing him in the street. Right. They're wanting pictures.
Like, and I like this scene where a guy breaks into the, like, they have lived this life that is very mundane and very vanilla, mm-hmm, if I can use that term.
Sure.
Where they don't have to really worry about locking their doors, maybe. And there's a guy who obviously...
Yeah, they're in a nice neighborhood. It's an old house.
It's not the end of the world to not lock a window or a
professor and an architect or something. Like, right. They're just... No one's coming for them.
No. Well, this is... I got to tell you, this is a terrifying scene. The way this is filmed looks like something out of a horror movie. And it feels so real.
Yeah.
That I was like uncomfortable watching this scene. So this guy...
And it's not the most terrifying, suspenseful scene in this movie.
You don't think so?
No, there's another one.
Okay.
I think there's one that's anxiety-inducing, and the way that there was one in eighth grade that was anxiety-inducing.
Okay. That's fair.
But look up videos about YouTube stalkers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Definitely a commentary on. So he gets this overnight fame, and people cannot...
We had a guy...
Did you really?
Yeah, we had a guy that like somehow got our address and sent flowers to Crystal.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They got your address? Mm-hmm. Holy
God. I mean, we do our best, but there's only so much you can do.
Sure.
I mean, I guess we could transfer our house into an LLC or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But you look at these YouTubers that have 14 million, 20 million followers. I mean, that is a lot of people. And it's kind of like when people would watch TV and you're in their living room and you're their best friend, right?
What's the law of averages, too, right? Like, as far as mental health
goes.
But
with YouTube, it's such this direct connection to
our podcast. It's what they refer to as a parasocial relationship.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's like you listen to a podcast and you feel like you know that guy, girl, lady, woman, whatever, all points in between. And that it's like, especially the way you tend to listen to podcasts, right?
Sure.
You tend to have headphones on. It's very much like getting pumped directly into mm-hmm. your head.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I feel like if I'm hung out with Marc Maron, we'd get along.
Right.
I feel like Ira Glass and I would be friends, right? Like you feel that way, but like, and then over time, especially Marc Maron talks so much about his personal life, you know so much about their life,
right,
that you kind of forget that they don't know about you. Yours.
Right.
You're just a face to them.
Not even that.
Right.
But yeah, it's so
you're
hard.
Just a download
they have
number.
They have face
yeah, but it's yeah. But it's so hard mentally to disconnect that because yeah. You listen to, whether it's daily, weekly, whatever, you listen so much and know so much about them.
Yeah.
Your brain just goes like, if you saw them, you'd be like, hey, whatever. But it's like, you're a person.
Right.
Like, and it's not anything against the, not saying, oh, this is a celebrity that's too big. It's like, they literally don't know you.
Right.
So you have to think of it as like, if you went to the grocery store and talked to the person at the checkout that you've never seen before, like your interaction to them is
I think of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Like, I think that's a prime example where you see them, you know, Kelce has, Travis Kelce, and that's the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. Has a podcast.
Everybody knows.
I guess that's true. Has a podcast with his brother that is fantastic. But you see, like, you will never get that level of access to Taylor Swift where he is like that. Not a step below. That's not fair. But there's a level of access to him and you see them, like, he talks. I don't know if he talks about the relationship, but you see the pictures of them at a concert or at a game or wherever. And it does give this feeling of like, oh, they're like me.
Right.
They're just normal people. And it's like, no, they're not.
Yeah.
Like, they're not normal people. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No.
They just have a different
existence.
And
honestly, like, your level of access to him is rapidly diminishing the longer he's with Taylor Swift.
Sure.
Yes.
And it has to.
Yeah.
Like when people try to shame Taylor Swift because she takes private jets. Like, look, there are lots of reasons to not like private jets, right?
Yeah.
But it's funny because the people that are shaming her, they've never once complained about the environment.
No.
And damage to the environment. I mean, they never, but suddenly, because it's a way to target Taylor Swift, it's the most important thing in the world.
Gang up.
But like, in fairness to Taylor Swift, how the fuck is she supposed to take a commercial flight?
No, you're absolutely
she
right.
Can't, that woman cannot take a commercial flight.
She would just have
flight.
To buy the whole flight.
Yeah.
And then she's on a private
jet. Then she's back on a private jet.
Right, that's exactly. It's, yeah. No, but people are unreasonable.
I just think about that. I think about that video with Mike Tyson. Did you ever see that video?
Which one?
Where Tyson's on an airplane and
he's
minding his own business and this guy.
That's what happens when you're on
also,
a plane
also,
with a
celebrity. Also, just in reference to that, he's Mike Tyson.
I don't care if he is 58 years old.
I am not. I'll be like, hey, champ, thank you.
Unless
take
you're
care of yourself.
Also a heavyweight contender, there's no way you're going to go toe-to-toe with that guy,
no.
Even if you're 25 and he's 50.
He's going to hit you twice, and you're not going to see it coming, and then you're going to be on the floor with your teeth in your asshole.
Yeah.
So this I think is especially where the movie is talking about internet fame and instant celebrity, and then the downside and the scary side is that people, you just don't know who now is targeting you and what they might do. And this guy,
and I think this scene to me is kind of shows his worminess.
But then he does nothing.
He does nothing. And granted, I was putting myself in that situation. Where it's like, okay, I'm looking for different ways to disarm him. I'm, you know, whatever. For a guy who cannot fight to save his life, what does he do rather than put himself in front of his wife?
But look, the whole movie, he's been asking people about what does he do in their dreams, and he does nothing.
Right.
And then this shows you in real life,
he does nothing.
This is how people view him because
he does nothing.
Right. It's just
he doesn't move to get in front of his wife. He doesn't move to get in front of his daughters. He just kind of freezes.
Yeah, he just tells them, like, the scene lingers there. And luckily, this killer is so incompetent and really doesn't.
I also think he's just mentally ill.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that they're lucky that this was not someone that actually showed up to do the job, because this guy crouches in the corner and he just waves the knife and is like, I'm sorry, I have to, and he's just doing nothing. But it lingers on this scene, and he has so much time to protect himself and the family, so much time to grab anything, run away. The guy's just sitting there like this, and he's just like, He's doing nothing. And yeah. So, to me, now the detective talks to him.
And the detective's like, you know, you left your door unlocked.
You're going to have to lock your doors, get a security system. And he's like, think about moving. And like, we're not moving.
Yeah. She's like, I grew up in this house. I'm not moving.
You better do something to protect yourself.
Get security, and, get cameras.
And he says to the guy, he's like, you know, it seems like you didn't do anything.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, that's however
doesn't
he says
seem
it.
Seem like.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like. Yeah.
So then he gets an offer to come to this like tech, I don't know.
It's like a PR firm.
Yeah, like a startup PR firm.
It's like a boutique PR firm.
But like a social media. Like
this is like one of my favorite scenes.
Oh, this is great. This scene with all three of them is phenomenal. And I love that Michael Cera only plays against type now. Like he started off doing kind of the same thing for so long.
Yeah.
And now he's like, if I'm going to take a role, it's going to be something totally different.
Yeah, he doesn't do that voice anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's talking to Paul and he's just like, look, we've got an opportunity here. Like we can,
I love how this starts with him kissing his ass. And then Paul's like, yeah, we're going to do some big things together or whatever. And he's like, yeah, yeah. Oh, you want to write a book? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We got you.
So we're thinking we've been talking to Sprite. I love how it starts this whole thing that could be just like huge. And really he's like, yeah, we want you to sell ads in your.
And I guess because my background is like marketing and concerts and I'm sitting there like, dude, just take the money.
Take the money.
Oh my gosh, of course.
The
because
money.
You know how you write your book with Sprite money.
That's right.
Like right,
and Obama money.
You take the Sprite money and then you self-publish this ant book that nobody cares about, right?
Because and then you did it.
Yeah, like
but this guy is so clueless.
Yeah.
He is so full. And also, he's very full of himself, right? Like as much as little as he does, he sure does think highly of himself.
Right.
And that's part of the problem is he cannot get beyond this feeling that he's so important.
He has this odd mixture of like narcissism and low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
And it was just
he's
not
sitting,
good.
Sitting
no,
around doing
I was married to it.
He's sitting around doing nothing, wondering why people aren't showering with attention.
Right.
Yeah.
And getting book deals and all this. And it's like, dude.
Yeah, because you suck.
Yeah. Well, like, and you're not kinda doing anything to get that stuff.
Right. You want something to
but
hand
he
th- it
but
to
he
you.
Thinks doing a commercial for Sprite is so
is beneath
him.
Yeah.
Yet how many celebrities and athletes who are super talented do endorsements and commercials with Sprite and Skittles?
Yeah, when we were in London, it was so weird to see all these commercials.
Oh, the celebrity ads that don't.
Celebrities.
With American celebrities?
That don't air here. Yeah,
sure.
For like perfume and chips and stuff.
There's always the one, there's an Arnold Schwarzenegger one from like Japan.
Yeah.
Where it's like a sports drink or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Clooney. They all do these and it's always for like some random, for like chips. It's just like random product placement stuff. But anyway, but Paul, like he cannot believe that they would invite him, the guy that people dream about that does nothing, literally. As we've talked about, he does nothing to make them dream of him, right?
Yeah.
He's showing up in their dreams for no reason. He has put no effort in.
None. It just
does
nothing.
It's a
weird
phenomenon.
I love
the fact when Michael Cera's pitching this, and he's like, oh, like, you know, you'll show up in somebody's dream holding a Sprite. We'll get people to dream about Sprite. And he's like, if it works, it'll be great. And he's like, you know what? If it doesn't work, well, then we've got a fun story about how we tried this thing that didn't work.
Right.
Like, he's already planning for failure.
I love it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also, I wanted to be like, why don't you just advertise for a mattress? Like, Casper mattress or something.
Well, but no matter what, he wouldn't do anything. He showed up because he thought this advertising agency wanted to publish his
book. Going to get him the book.
But the reason you wouldn't is because a thing like Casper mattress is very call to action, right?
Oh, sure.
So, like, I think in a dream,
I guess you're already asleep.
In a dream setting, a call to action sort of ad isn't going to work. You're going to need an ad that's more about branding. So, you're going to need a soda, a beer, a fast food restaurant.
Fair.
Where you're just,
which is what we see later.
Yeah, which is what you're just trying to
awareness.
Just, yeah, it's just general awareness to keep a brand top of mind. And there's a handful of brands that can advertise like that because you have to already be a household name for simply a sign that says Coke to
correct.
Work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
If you just put up a sign that says Casper mattress,
you're like, what the hell is that?
It doesn't really
mean Anheuser-Busch. I mean, all the funny ads, like people know beer, Budweiser.
Right.
I mean, but you have to keep
but
plugging.
You have to get your brand to that point first before you can pivot to ads like that.
This has been Freakonomics.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Real Spoilers.
Yes. I am Stephen Dubner.
So, yeah. So he goes to this meeting, and of course, he poo-poos the entire Sprite thing. And I do love this scene where Cera just kind of turns around and, like, looks out the window. And in my head, I was like, oh, this is the turn where he's going to be a... But... And even like the
I thought something really weird was going to happen.
I thought it was going to be like, look, you mother.
But
like,
he was just taking this like comically long. Like
Ned Beatty and,
yes.
And the network.
But yes. He took this comically long and awkward time to reset because he's like, let's start over. And he turns around. And you think that's where you just spin back around. Like, right. Hi, nice to meet you. He takes he a holds minute to
it's
reset.
A whole different reset.
And so he's in this meeting with Molly and Mary. Molly is like the assistant that greets him at the door. And in the elevator, this is the first time anyone tells him they have a dream and he doesn't just stand there.
Right.
And she kind of hints at it at first, right?
Well, he's like, do I behave? And she was like, oh, no.
Oh, no, you don't. And that's the first time we've heard anyone say that he doesn't just stand there. Because he's making a joke like that's his cool guy, like, oh, do I behave? And she's like, no. And then that's all.
Sarah makes a joke about it in the meeting.
Well, when he's like, do you want to tell me more about it? And she's like, no. And so they go into the meeting and they're talking about dreams. And then, she's been having some crazy dreams about you. And he's like, what?
And then so they go back into the elevator. And the meeting goes kind of the way that he wants it to.
Kate Berlant is the other actor that's in there. I just think she's really good. I like
her. They're both
her.
Very good.
They're all good in this scene, but I just think her facial expressions, the way she's like going along with things and trying to like, they're doing the ad agency thing. You know, if you're ever in marketing,
very much
meetings
the second in command,
trying like, to sell things and be positive about everything that's happening. And I just thought she was great.
Yeah. So they get back and it's Molly and Paul back in the elevator. And Molly's just, you know, she's trying not to flirt with him, but she's trying to do the, like, I'm not flirting, but I am flirting.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, how long are you in town? And he's like, oh, I'm just going to catch a flight in the morning. She's like, well, if you, you know, wanted to grab a drink. And he's like, why? And she's like, ah, just whatever. And then they end up going to have a drink together. And I was like, dude, this gal is going to break you in half. Like, you don't have
any
idea.
But it's also
idea.
Played in this fascinating way where it's like, you could tell she's not attracted to him.
At all.
But she's also intrigued because of her dream.
And her dream is very intense.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very intense sex dream for her.
Yeah.
And this guy is... This person who has been like this thing in a dream is now literally sitting in front of her.
Yeah.
And she's like, I gotta know.
Right.
I gotta know.
Yeah.
So they go back to her place.
Well, so she tells them about it first.
That's
right.
Right.
They're
That's
at
right.
the bar. They're talking. People are staring at him, whatever. And it's just a very weird.
He also dresses like a douchebag. Like, he's always got, like, the zip-up sweater.
Well, he wants to be, he is a professor, but he wants to be, like, an expert. He dresses like a world-renowned whatever.
He's
you know
got
what
that
I mean? He
giant, just, like, coat with the, I gotta tell you, the hood was driving me bananas. I was like, can you just push the hood down? Like, golly. But he never takes the jacket off until he gets to the apartment.
But so he's like, they're talking and he's very much nerdy and awkward and just has nothing. All the stuff he says and the same with everybody is not interesting. No one likes talking to this guy. And so, she, you know, you can tell she's just like, yeah, this was a mistake.
Well, but she doesn't. She thinks it's a mistake, but she's like, I'm still going to try it.
Well, right. But then he's like, tell me about your dream. And then so you see it play out.
Right. It is gross.
And this is the first dream that isn't just him standing there doing
but
nothing.
But I will say, this is the second scene that scared the crap out of me, is him like in the corner. And much like Hereditary, we're like, am I looking at something? Like, what am I looking at? Where you can kind of see his silhouette, but you're not entirely sure that you're looking at something.
So, Joe, tell us about this sexy dream.
It was not fun to watch. I don't, Nicolas Cage.
well, not as this character, certainly.
No, thank you.
But
basically,
but
he takes control and he dominates her. And it's not in a, like, unwanted way, like everything's in
the
dream.
But it's also the like,
it's like a,
it's the fantasy.
It's like a, what you know, it's like a what they would now call a ravishment fantasy.
Yes, yes. Like, that's exactly it.
She's, who are you? Whatever. And he comes out of the corner. He doesn't say anything, and he just starts
does what he's
manipulating
gonna do.
Her.
Yes, correct.
And,
correct.
And like in her ear and neck. And what does she say? Alluding, we knew what would happen, right? Because someone says at some point in the movie, she's like. He's like, do I do anything? She's like, yeah, we
fuck off or something. Yeah, right. So she definitely like does not sugarcoat
that at some point.
Yes.
And so we see the whole thing play out. And
like
then,
I think it's like the most intense orgasms I've ever had.
Yeah. Like
when she wakes up.
And so he's like, this is the first time anyone has given him that kind of attention.
Right.
I mean, so far the attention has just been you're there, and he's been constantly craving not only attention, but he wants someone to actually care about him or find him attractive or whatever.
Yes.
And so now that he has this, he doesn't want to cheat on his wife, but also this is the first time anyone has really noticed
And then he
him.
Also, like, he gets a little nervous about this guy, Chris, who works in his wife's office.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think so. Not from those first... The first time we see them interacting, I didn't think that at all.
I think I would agree, but like once she's on the project.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I got instant. I mean, when you're in London, you call back home and there's a guy at your house and the kids aren't there.
That's fair.
And she didn't tell you. I mean, all she has to do is say, Chris is coming over to work. Like, she didn't tell him until he called and he hears a guy there with her.
That's
like,
fair. That's fair. Oh, no. She was still at the office.
Oh, they're at the. Okay.
But it doesn't matter.
Okay, because he said, where are the kids? So I thought they were at the house. But they're alone together, you know, it just...
And that's the other thing is, like, because of Paul's fame, Janet got to get on this project that she wanted to get on because everybody was like, oh, yeah, I know. You're the wife of the guy in everybody's dreams.
Yeah.
So she's also benefiting from the dreams. Oh, boy.
So once he hears that she's alone with Chris and he feels that... Essentially, it's kind of seemed... I think he feels that she's going to cheat on him.
Right.
He's very uncomfortable with the situation. And then she's like, hey, I can't help myself. I want to try something. And so I think he kind of goes along with it to get back at her, even though I don't believe anything was happening at the office. But I do believe it was set up that it did feel like Chris had
So this is the turn, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is when the dreams turn.
Right.
When he screws up.
Because he does something bad.
Right.
He should have never put himself in that position. And I do feel like he was kind of going in... It's hard to differentiate between the two. I don't feel that he said, yes, I'm going to go cheat on her now. But I think he felt like...
He wanted to see if what she was hinting at was real.
Right.
But then also, if you put yourself in that position, you have no one to blame but yourself.
For sure.
Because you don't put yourself in that position thinking, well, nothing will happen. Like, I mean,
she is a very... And I mean this in the best... She's a very assertive woman, and he is a very submissive dude where she's like, we're doing this, I'm gonna go change clothes, you're gonna go stand over there in the corner. Like, no, she's like, no, a little bit further.
But you don't put yourself in the position where someone says, I've been having sex dreams about you, and hey, come back to my place, right, we've been drinking, right, and I want to try something. I mean, what do you think?
Right.
What do you think's gonna happen?
Parcheesi?
Yeah.
So he put himself in, and he has no one to blame but himself.
He didn't put himself in.
And it's all based on his wanting to feel important and loved.
Couldn't even get to that part.
Yeah.
Because he...
Yeah.
But clearly, it just shows you he's not aggressive or assertive or...
I thought I was the only one in the theater when I saw it. Because I saw it a very early, you know, and I didn't expect... And this scene when he farts... Like, I audibly laughed, and I, like, heard movement in front of me, and I was like, oh, shit. Sorry. And then, like, she's like, you know, he farts because he's nervous.
Oh, it's very natural.
When you're nervous. She's like, okay, fine. And then she goes back to his belt, and she can't get his belt, and of course he... finishes very, 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 very early,
take his belt
and
off.
Then farts again, and it's so, like, God,
this scene is so awkward.
Get out, man!
And he does. He
abort,
runs away.
Abort,
he runs away.
So now he goes home, doesn't say anything, but now everything is different.
But don't we flash forward from here, or at least soon after we cut forward to people's dreams?
We start seeing the kid,
and he's murdering
clubbed.
Them.
Yeah, it's
and
very,
very graphic. This is like a Drive in the elevator level of murder.
Nobody gets there. I mean, maybe a little bit.
What, the guy? You see him getting smashed in
the
head.
But that guy in Drive gets, like, you see his skull charred.
I know, but it's the not pull away type of violence.
That is true.
It is.
Yes,
you're
watching
it happening. Yeah,
yeah. And that's every dream that we're having. So now his class is gone, and everybody's like, we don't really want to be around you. And this is hard for me because he didn't do anything. Right? Like, I understand that, like, the psyche is there. I get it.
I said to my wife, I'm like, this is like the worst of both worlds.
Yes.
You basically cheated on your wife, but you didn't actually get to cheat on your wife.
And but you're also like, they're making him responsible for the dreams.
Well, how many times have you guys had a partner where they have a dream about you cheating on them and they're mad at you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing that I think is pretty common. And it doesn't say, not that it lasts forever, but like, they're like mad at you and you're like, I didn't do anything.
I would get texts in the middle of the night at work. She's like, oh man, you were a dick in your dream. I was like, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's just something that I've heard that story multiple times where someone's partner gets mad at them for a dream.
Yes.
And I just thought this is such a
this common... is like taking to turn it up to 11. Yeah. Right. So this dude's world starts falling apart because
people are turning on him. The backlash has begun.
He got famous for no reason.
Yep. Right.
And he got infamous for no reason.
So his class is diminished and kids will not come to his class. His kids are getting made fun of at school. His wife is kicked off the project. And
he's like been sent on a vacation.
Yeah, he's been, yes, correct.
He said, he's taking a vacation. Tim Meadows is his boss.
I was like, hey, man, Tim Meadows is still around. That's
university,
great.
Yeah. And they have some good scenes together. And like when he comes in, have you been dreaming of me?
I've been dreaming
what?
Of you?
What? And but he basically.
Is he the longest running cast member on SNL?
No. He was at one
until
point.
Until
Keenan.
Keenan
now. Okay. And I know Phil Hartman was like 12 seasons or something.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he was
really? Like, I feel like Tim Meadows would just show up and
Daryl Hammond.
Oh, yeah.
Well, especially if you count him now that he's the announcer.
Right.
But
Before that, he would just...
Because they kept Daryl Hammond for a long time because he was basically just like a utility player.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He wouldn't write or do any of the other stuff. They would just be like, we need these three impressions this week.
There's a guy on there
and
now.
He'd show up on Fridays. Yeah, the guy who does
who
their Trump.
Looks eerily and sounds like Daryl
Hammond. That guy's great.
Yes. Yeah.
What is his name? John?
I don't know. He's very...
James? God, James. It's James something.
This is a really solid cast.
He is so...
I like his cast a lot.
But that James Arnold... Well, I can't remember what his name is, but he's really freaking great.
Yeah. I think that's why Baldwin said he wasn't going to do it anymore. Well, Baldwin said he was... I'm going to let
Baldwin?
What did I say?
It sounded like you're saying Baldwin. You're saying it fast.
I was like,
Baldwin.
Wait a minute. Now my head's messed up.
Baldwin.
But so that he was doing Trump forever. And then I think he finally says, like, I'll just let a cast member do it. Yeah. Like, don't bring
well,
me
and
on.
This guy's Trump is better. It's more.
It is better.
It's a more accurate representation of how Trump speaks.
Yeah.
Of just like.
Oh, it sounds
Baldwin
just
was very
like.
The word salad gibberish.
Yeah. No, this guy, he's got the tone down. It sounds like him, but it's like the way he speaks.
Yeah.
The rhythm.
He's got that little gobble neck.
So good.
I think the makeup's pretty great.
I love it when he does the thing when he shows up. I don't know if they've done it at all this season, but when he shows up on Weekend Update and then goes through like the seven items real quick as Trump, and he's like, that's so funny.
He is very funny. Yeah. But now everybody's turned on him. And then
no one is taking his side. He's like, I didn't do anything. Whatever, and whoever he talks to, like Tim Meadows, is like, yeah, I think this is best to
just
do whatever.
Go home, and then
his wife is like, well, yeah, maybe you should stop doing interviews or like just
but
stop.
He did
all
stop.
This.
And then he does this apology video. And as I'm
well,
watching,
before the apology video, he goes back to or he leaves class after he's leaving or whatever to go home, and they've spray painted his car.
Oh, yeah.
The apology video is for his blow up.
Yes,
basically.
And they painted loser on his car. And I was like, yeah, I'd be pissed off too.
The school name. I just feel like I need to point this out, is an anagram for loser.
Oh,
what
is
it
really?
What is the school?
Osler.
Oh,
it is Osler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
that's
call.
Really good. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
They spray painted his car, but he's having a meltdown because his life is falling apart. And again, like, I mean.
This is where the movie loses.
When things are out of your control, it is hard not to be upset. Like, I didn't do anything, whatever, you know?
I think this part of the movie is great.
Okay.
Where I won't say it loses me, but where it diminishes itself is the technology aspect at the end.
Oh,
but,
sure. Yeah. That feels like something out of Her.
That feels where it gets very Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And but, not in a good way. And I love Black Mirror.
Sure.
But yeah.
Yeah. But he blows up at these kids and he says, "What you're all effing babies," and he's cursing at them and whatever. He's having a total meltdown.
Yeah. He definitely has like a right wing snowflake kind of like reaction to these
but
kids.
I will also say like their requests and their like need for a safe space is dumb, right? Like it's like it's just a dream. Ultimately this guy has no control over
it's after. He's already left and taken his vacation, but he comes back one time because they have like a counselor come in and to try to the whole class is there just like, here's a picture, he's a nice guy, come in Paul, and this is another one of those tense moments
where he's just kind of like, I thought this was a dream initially.
I thought he was gonna kill the teacher. I thought it was a dream.
But I was really glad they didn't do head fakes with dreams. Like if it was a dream, it was normally established pretty quickly it was a dream, because I hate when movies
I
do
thought
that.
The one
but they allowed one like at this counseling if it was a dream and you're like all the kids are like you know, nervous, and the counselor's like, it's okay, it's a safe space, and he comes closer, and then he like tears her head off. Like, right. I feel like they could do one, but yeah, I agree. I don't want constant.
I thought the one at the school with his daughter was a dream.
Yeah.
I guess the head fake was the student that he breaks the first time when he goes. There's like two students that first see him in their dreams, and you know, we kind of follow them. He sees them in the hallway.
Yeah.
Well, he goes to her door when things are kind of falling apart, and you think like he's just got to talk to her about something about class, and she's like, I'm busy. Like, it's very creepy. You know, he's like, let me in. Like, that is a head fake, because it starts off, you don't know it's a dream.
Right.
And then he murders her. So
initially,
her, right?
I thought that was going to be like, this girl fed that doctor, because we see the doctor has published this book, this article in Nature magazine, and it refers to his.
It steals his verbiage, because he even says, like, when she's like, well, a lot of people study the same thing, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but you didn't say antelligence, right?
And she goes, I don't want antelligence.
It's
and then
dumb,
she uses it.
And then later on, she's published.
I initially thought
that
first student was going to be like, he was feeding her, this other woman, information.
But anyway.
But yeah, so he ends up like his.
They're embarrassed by his meltdown. He has a total meltdown tantrum. The family's embarrassed. People
and then
don't want.
Oh, that's right. And then he has a dream about himself killing himself.
Yeah.
And
this is the first time he's seen himself in a dream.
Right.
And it's, the killer dream, where it's a really cool sequence. I mean, this movie looks great. This is done by the same cinematographer who did Mandy.
Oh, that tracks.
It is a very similar look.
Yep. That makes a lot of
Benjamin,
sense.
I'll look him up. His
I wonder
first
if it's a Nicolas Cage guy.
It might be, but I think Mandy might have been the only other one. But
he knew the color of space.
Based on a Barry Manilow song?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, he didn't do Color of Space, which is another great Nicolas Cage movie.
Those two, Mandy and Color of Space back to back, are wackadoo movies in the best possible.
But this
way.
Is a crazy movie where someone in like camo and a hunting hat and a crossbow is chasing him through his neighborhood, and they're shooting him. It looks really good and it's scary and intense. And then you get to the guy and you see his face and it's him.
It's right. And he goes online and he makes this video, and it's the most I think I honestly believe that he was trying to be sincere. And it just came off as the most insincere thing he could do.
Well, he was trying to be sincere for sure, but this is a total commentary on YouTuber apology videos.
Yes.
Because they do this terrible stuff, but then they make a video that makes him look 10 times worse, because they won't just own up to it, because he in his own naive way was trying to be sincere, but what does he do? He also
makes
goes,
it about
now,
him.
Yeah, now I know how you feel. No, really, because now I know the terror.
I have a lived experience.
Him. Yeah, so now please relate to me and whatever, because look what I've gone through.
Right.
So he's trying to say, like, I understand, but make it about himself.
The daughter's reaction is my favorite. She's like, well, I'm just going to have to kill myself.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to do. And his wife is like, you were done. And I do think it's like, man, you turned on him real quick. Like, you can't blame him for what you can blame him for the video. You can blame him sort of for blowing up on those kids, but like, he hasn't done anything.
But I do kind of wonder if this was a long time coming. They've been together for 15 years, and you see how this guy is.
Their marriage seemed pretty tepid.
That's fair.
Yeah. I think this was the straw that broke the camel's back.
I got you.
I agree, because I also did think their relationship was
just like Rose Byrne. All you had to do.
But, Jesus. We definitely know who the monster of this podcast is.
Not me.
No,
Rose Byrne. That's who it is.
Yes. It's always the person going, it's not me. I didn't do anything. Say that. I didn't do anything.
I'm not
going to
say
that. Sound like? So anyway, they have this kind of cute relationship, and I agree, but I just kept thinking, like, why are you with this guy? Right?
Because I thought about the other woman too. Like, when he sees his ex-girlfriend, it's like, what did you see in this guy?
But they're exes.
That's true.
Right? But saying, like, something.
They saw something.
But we don't know how. It didn't necessarily last that long. I'm just saying, this woman's been married to him for 15 years.
Right.
And that's great. If it works for them, that's great. I'm not saying. But you see the way he acts, and I just kept thinking, like, what is she getting out of this? Why are they? But it was kind of cute. And then when it just falls apart.
Quickly.
I agree. It seems quick, but I do think that she's been for 15 years probably questioning, what am I doing?
Yeah, that's
this guy
fair. That's
is
fair.
A self-absorbed, wimpy, just narcissist.
Wormy guy.
Yeah. But he's a narcissist that has, like, no reason to feel like a
narcissist.
But yeah,
we should say that he gets invited to the special party. Nobody shows up except for him because he's a psychopath in the people's dreams.
Yeah.
And then even this guy's wife is like, I can't do this. And she's... you know, the guy's like, look, she had a pretty rough day at work, and we get a flashback of Nicolas Cage murdering her while she's at work.
I like the little flashes when he's around people. Uh-huh. You start to see little flashes of what he does in their dreams.
Of their dreams,
and
yeah.
It's, you just, for real quick, you see him doing strangling someone or whatever, and
right.
I like that.
Yeah, so then, we've
she just couldn't handle it. Like, these dreams are so traumatizing to these people. Like, they're so real. They're these vivid dreams,
yeah.
And he is murdering them in super violent ways, so people can't be around him in real life.
Yeah, which I do, again, it's just like, okay. I hear it. I know there's a line in this where, like, he talks about trauma, and I do believe that trauma is real. I don't think that a dream is trauma. If it's just a dream, if it's a dream that maybe that's some of your trauma, right? Like if it's something that happened to you, whether it's a car accident or an assault or something.
But this is a reoccurring dream. He's murdering them constantly. This is,
so they're saying that they're having this dream every night
or a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
He's not just doing I was thinking it was like a
one time thing.
He is Freddy Krueger,
they reference a lot.
Right? Yeah. That glove is great for the photo. What a great photo shoot.
Yes.
That's, you know, that's a cool idea. You
can't use the real one.
But he is He is terrorizing them in their dreams. So I think he.
Okay.
But it's, again, not his fault, right?
So we right. Have to, but we, I also get, like, and this is where I think, like, the right might glob onto this movie is because I do feel like we have defined trauma down quite a bit, and mm-hmm. to some degree that's fair, but there's also a point where it's like, I see this post on Facebook every time, I always think this every time I see it, but it's that post where somebody's like, you should always be kind because you don't know what battle yes. someone is fighting. And I'm like, okay, well, when I'm not being kind, you don't know what battle I'm fighting, so go fuck yourself. Like, right? Like, so, like, but that's the absolutely. Like snake eating its yeah. own tail downward yes. spiral you can also fall into if you sure. don't use a little critical thinking.
Correct.
But I like the idea behind that though, because if everyone acted that way,
for
then you
sure.
wouldn't have people being jerks.
But it's about balance,
of course.
Right? Like
you
that,
can't
you know.
Can't let people walk all yeah. over you or do terrible things and say like, oh well, maybe they're having a bad day. But instead of just jumping to this person's a piece of crap and they should die in a fire,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right,
like,
right.
Maybe they're having a bad day.
It's having and, a bad, having an off day.
You
know,
I tried to, like, if you go to the grocery store, or Walmart or whatever, and God, if you had to work at Walmart, I get
man.
It. And the person's like not that nice to you. It's like I'm like. Okay, they're probably not enjoying their job. They probably just dealt with someone that mm-hmm. was a total asshole to them or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just like to try to like, okay, it's whatever.
It's whatever. Like you're just having I get it. It's fine.
But yeah, I get it. Balance for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So now Michael Cera has to call him and he's like, look, this thing is off the rails. We need to pivot. And he's just like, we may need
he's
to like start
thing.
Focusing
he's,
on
he's like
the
Sprite thing
MAGA,
is gone.
MAGA hats and yeah. alt right.
That's off the table.
Like, he's like, what about Obama? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
He's like, but
he's like, the whole corporate thing is not going to work.
We did get you an interview time with Tucker Carlson.
It's yeah.
Like, oh, God.
Well, no. I can get you on Rogan.
Well,
was,
no,
I think
yeah,
one somebody said.
They said maybe we need to get you on Jordan Peterson.
Jordan Peterson, yeah. Yeah, or Joe Rogan.
So
or, yeah.
Have you heard of a comedian named Matt Rife?
Oh. I have heard of Matt Rife.
Who's getting canceled because his audience is women and he starts off his Netflix special with abuse and jokes.
It's a domestic violence joke.
Yeah.
And
a getting the women should get in the kitchen joke. But what was his first interview after all this controversy?
Oh, I don't know. What was it?
He ran to Jordan Peterson.
Did he really?
So I'm like, when this movie came out,
weird.
It was not reactionary. I mean, yeah. The movie's been out. It was at Sundance, whatever. It was been out for months at festivals. I'm just like, holy crap, did they get that right? Because
yeah.
this
Man,
is exactly this is exactly the playbook. You
it
get
is.
Canceled. You go to the side that is against cancel culture.
I don't even think, like, the joke is, it's not a good joke.
What's
but.
That?
The Matt Rife. It's not
well,
a good,
that's a whole different discussion, but I just,
but at the same time, it's like,
but you could get canceled and not go to, I mean,
yeah,
but,
going straight to that
Joe,
guy.
Did you see his response
about the,
oh yeah,
if you would like my apology video, click this link and then it sends you to a website to buy a special needs helmet.
That
I mean,
does
he's
that,
just doubling down
yeah.
and what side doubles down, never admits the wrong. He could actually apologize, but, and maybe he doesn't want to,
and
but,
it's weird because when you see his crowd work, like he always, his crowd work is really good and he mm-hmm. always, like, there's never been a tinge of that
well
stuff.
Here's the problem. So he got famous for crowd work. Yeah. You see 15-second TikTok videos, and then you go see his whole special, right, or watch his whole special. I went to it. Me and Katie were like, this isn't funny. Like,
but did he, but not, he sold that place out, right?
Because people, yeah, he could have ridden this wave to superstardom, but he just, you know, he told some jokes that weren't even that funny, and then he doubled down, and now he's going on Jordan Peterson, which means next, if he's still canceled, he's going to go on all these. And it's just crazy to see someone throw away a career. He had the world by the balls.
Oh, and it was fast.
By the yes, he went and he's been around for a long time.
He was now, on Wild and Out.
Yeah, now, yeah, mind you, it's not fast in his career, but right, his popularity was fast.
Sure, sure, sure.
And he was selling places out. And then I just feel like if you had a PR team that said, hey, you need to either just not say anything, or let's let it cool off, or maybe do an apology, even if you don't think you should. Like, maybe the right move PR-wise. Here's the thing.
Dave Chappelle can get away with that joke.
Yes, because he's Dave Chappelle. He's Dave Chappelle. He will still sell places. He'll be fine. He's a multimillionaire.
Yep.
This guy,
Matt
Rife,
maybe you should get back.
He's going to go on a tour with Jim Brewer and Rob Schneider.
Well,
I mean, that's,
those are two mega guys.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is that? But, yeah, but look at them. They now, who is their fan base?
Yeah,
Louis C.K.
Yeah. Is he a mega guy?
He's not a mega guy, but
he got canceled.
But
for sure,
he got canceled, and like that's what his crowd is now.
Interesting.
So it's just it's crazy.
Which is funny because he's not that kind of
he's
guy.
He's not that guy.
He hates those people.
Same thing about Bill Burr.
Yeah, but because he got canceled.
Yeah, but Bill Burr isn't cancelable. That's
no,
the thing.
That's true.
That's the thing. He's smart because he says whatever he wants, but he's also not a MAGA guy.
No.
He's liberal,
no,
but he calls out everyone, and
yes,
he makes fun of everyone, right? Is yeah, no one? He's like South Park in a person, right? Like, but he just makes fun of everybody.
Yeah, that's a good call.
But he's just been so adopted by, like, that's his comedy, and
yeah,
you like can't cancel him, but he's not going to one side or the other. He's just like, you're all idiots.
You're
he
all
will just
idiots.
Tell you, you're all, and so he has owned that and whatever.
That's funny. So anyway.
But this is exactly what just happened with
that
Matt Rife,
that's
and
true.
It's crazy that this movie's like, yeah, you can go on Jordan Peterson, Tucker Carlson, whatever, and it's like, wow, this is happening right now.
Yeah.
So,
man, and I did like that guy's crowd work. It was really good.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah. And then go watch his special. I don't know.
I'm good.
Well, you know, that's the problem. When it comes to the comedy, like, you need to give people some space because...
People being the audience or the comedian?
The comedian. Because it's like, as they're getting there, they're going to say things.
Yes.
If you want edgy comedy, sometimes they're going to miss the mark.
Yeah.
Right? And so now the problem here is this isn't him building a special. He put it
he
on
had
a special.
It. He had an hour special.
It made it through the screening process, mm-hmm, that particular joke. But I think...
And the same joke is how he starts his show live, too. So that was his thing.
Yeah.
He goes like, I'm just testing the water. He starts off with a really, really edgy joke.
Right.
And no one in the audience was like totally cracking over it. We were all just like, this is awkward.
Yeah.
Because it's not that funny of a joke. Like, I get being edgy, but like, it's not even that funny. Why would you lay it all on the line for that?
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I will also say, I think ultimately part of the problem with cancel culture, and I hesitate to use that because it's like
I've started, like, somebody said it's consequence culture,
right? Because
like,
it's
okay,
like,
I'm yeah, okay with that,
but
I'm
there
okay
also
that.
Doesn't seem to be a path back, right?
A like, redemption.
Yeah
Like, and so I mean, I think that, like, if we want people to have consequences, I don't think, you know, it needs to be a binary choice of like, and you never get to work again.
That's the balance
which is why people end up gravitating towards this MAGA crowd, because they're, you know, they're like, oh, fuck your feelings, unless it's Taylor Swift says Dads, Chads, and Brads, and suddenly
right,
like,
feelings are very
mean to me.
Yeah,
and so it's like,
pick your battles, bro.
Yeah, like so.
But there has to be balance. I agree. That's the problem. Yeah. And it's the same thing.
There needs to be a space to allow people to say, yeah, in retrospect.
Right.
I should. That's not what I meant to say.
I think
and I was trying to be edgy, and I was trying to push the limits, and like, that didn't land how I wanted it to.
I think James Gunn is a pretty good example of that.
And I think James Gunn only pulled it off because he had kind of already gone through the process.
Yeah.
So people, and it was such a ginned up controversy.
Sure.
Right? We found this thing from 12 years ago that you had already apologized for.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring it back. And
I'm,
you know,
so glad I'm so glad they let him come back, because
yeah,
that would have been a terrible mistake.
Oh,
to,
for sure.
To, you know. But
yeah, I think.
But that's what this movie's saying.
The amount of people that were able to recoup after being canceled is real small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be super, super talented. And James Gunn is super talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they brought him back because they realized we need him to make hundreds of millions of dollars with this movie. So, like, you're willing to give people a shot when it comes to the monetary. Like, we'll roll the dice.
Yeah.
Now, if you're just some Joe Schmo and get canceled.
But I think if James Gunn had done that same tweet in real time.
That's a problem.
And it wasn't a 10 or 12-year-old tweet.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he would have come back.
Probably
I don't think
not.
They would have brought him
back. No, no. I agree with you. No, he had an out that it was already done in the past. But that's what this movie's saying, right?
Yeah.
This guy gets canceled for something he literally did not do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think this movie is a commentary on cancel culture. It has a lot to say. There's a ton
of it. I mean, and then we get to the end of this movie, and his life is ruined. His life is completely... He's divorced. He's cast to get his own place. He does get his book, but his book signing... gets
well, he says
only
they,
in France.
He says they love you in France. He goes, I don't know, like, you know, no one will touch you here, but in France they love you. We don't know why,
they
but
love, I don't know.
No, that's what Michael Cera says.
No,
I don't know why. But so he goes to France.
He goes, he's like, you're going to do an interview with Rue Morgue. And I was like, Rue Morgue? That's a dope-ass magazine. Like, well done. But they're doing him, making him do all of these ridiculous poses. And, of course, they give him the medieval Freddy glove.
That was
and
great.
He puts it on. And he's like, I'm not wearing this. And he's like, oh, you're wearing it.
But he's talking to the people. And at this point, he still wants to be the guy that's like, I'm better than this. But he's just, like, looking at his situation.
And
he just
leans into
he's like,
it.
I'm not. He's finally realizing, he's like, what do I have left
right.
at this point? So he does the thing and he looks unhappy doing it.
But. He's signing the books. He gets hit in the head with a light that breaks off. But then we see this, which I thought was going to be the end of the movie. Then we get this weird ad for basically it's her. It's the bracelet that allows you to enter other people's dreams, which I was also like, if you're doing it consciously, that seems a little assaulty. Like to actively put yourself into somebody's dream and try to advertise there.
The way I looked at this is it's the commercialization of everything. The way that people, so they've got this phenomenon. The whole movie revolves around this guy who everyone's dreaming about. They don't know why. Right, he's doing nothing to cause it.
Right.
It's just happening. So, of course, what are corporations going to do?
Jump
we need
all
to
over
find
it.
A way to harness this and sell it. Right, it's like people that want to like sell ads on the moon or whatever. Right, like people are going to find ways to make money on this stuff. So now we go into, of course, the corporations have found a way to scientifically make this shared dream thing between if you wear this bracelet. That the director said is...
Oh, so I guess that's the thing, right?
Like
You have to wear... I took it as you have to wear the bracelet.
You're inviting people
I initially thought that it was like they're just invading people's dreams and showing them these stupid shoes.
No, because it's through technology. So you have to be in the network. And they say, like, you have to, like, welcome... You're sinking in and all your whatever. But But you're right. It's the movie was, I think, a little better when it was in this... Shrouded in this mystery. And you don't know why. And it doesn't need an explanation. And now they're bringing up, like, oh, now we can... technologically do this, which is just mumbo jumbo. It's the stuff they're saying.
Where it gets very black
but it's also that this is another instance where Paul was kind of the leading guy in this, and now he's
just
another,
no credit right
now. He's just a consumer.
It's all thanks to him, but he doesn't get any credit. He doesn't get any
and they talk about how, like, well, he's kind of caused a negative stereotype for this technology, which isn't fair,
right? Because he's like,
without this, the movie doesn't have an ending.
Right.
Yeah, so the ending of this is earlier.
So he's getting his apartment. The kids are moving in, and you
know
they
don't
like it.
And
it's a bummer, but it's like this.
Gotta
is what
tell
is,
you, in there, that's cool.
He's been reduced down to nothing, though. He's had everything taken away from him.
But he's like, it's also interesting because he has this interaction earlier with his wife, where she's like, you know that time I went to the Halloween party and you wore the talking head suit. She's like, yeah, that's your fantasy. So that. He figures out how to get into. Is he getting into her dream?
Well, it's open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Or you think that's his dream? Either way,
I don't know. But
he's in this
dream. Here's the thing: would she really wear this technology?
Yeah, she'd have
after
to be
this?
Wearing that bracelet.
Oh,
so that's what
right,
made. I
right,
mean,
right,
I'm skeptical,
right.
but the movie leaves it open. We don't. But you have to. I would have to think she's not.
She's not
a
this
part
is his,
of this.
This is his dream.
I think it's his dream.
So she is surrounded. She's surrounded by a ring of fire. In a red dress, and he walks out of the shadows in the talking head suit and kind of pulls her out, and they have this really nice interaction between the two, and they reconnect, and then he's like, I wish this was real, and he just kind of floats up into the sky, and she's reaching up for him, and then it's credits.
But you know what? again, because it's open to interpretation, maybe. I mean, the way they left things, the last time he sees her in person as he's leaving to go to France, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm not leaving for 4 days. I can stop by. And she's like, I'll see you when you get back. Like, she's
initially you see it, she's like, you know, they kind of hold hands and they're both tearing
up. That's his dream.
Right.
Right, right. But
and then it snaps back.
Because, I mean, haven't we all done this where you're like talking yourself up, like you're going into a situation like this is how it's going to play out.
Yeah,
right. And
right.
You get there and it's just nothing. You're like, that didn't go the way. Right. So he's dreaming up his like hero scenario.
The perfect ending.
I walk in. Yeah, he wants the happy ending. Well, he does, but he imagines all this and she wants nothing, but she still looks sad. She's still sad of the, you know, I mean,
what became of all this.
And so maybe, I mean, if you want to interpret it that way, maybe she does get the thing and thinks, well, maybe I will see him and maybe something will spark and he does the perfect thing she asked for.
Right.
You know, maybe they do get a happy ending.
Maybe.
Because at the end of the day, this guy didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
You can't really, I mean,
he made really shitty decisions.
He did. And he's a narcissist and he's whatever, but like, he didn't kill people. He didn't what you know what like, I mean?
And when we say narcissist, not in the medical sense.
Correct.
Like, he's just very self-involved.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so it's like he's not, like you said, he's not a bad guy.
He has a very high opinion of himself.
He hasn't done any, like, you know, unlike a lot of people who get canceled, he has not done anything to deserve it. Yeah. He didn't deserve his fame. He didn't deserve his cancel.
Exactly. Right. And so, right. Like, say at the end that maybe he does get it. That happy ending, like, I wouldn't say he doesn't deserve it, so maybe they do.
I didn't take it as a happy ending. I took it as this is all he's got left.
That's kind of what I took it as.
He shows up in her dreams, and that's all he can ever have of her,
right.
And any degree of normalcy.
It could be.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But I really like this movie.
Yeah.
I thought the Black Mirror stuff was a little weak, although I know they can't get to the end without it.
And it's only five minutes. It's the last.
It's the very, very end. But I thought
it's a fun ride. It's a crazy.
It loses me when everything turns. Like, I was like, oh, these killing dreams are great. And then when everybody turns on, it's like, you bunch of dicks.
But that's what would happen.
It is what would happen.
I think that's why it was so frustrating.
Do people go, hey, Freddy, how's it going? Do you want to be best friends? No, they're scared.
Freddy's not real.
Well, he's. What do you mean?
I thought instead of France, he should have been going to horror conventions.
That's what I thought too.
I'm like, this crowd going would love him.
Oh, yeah.
But in the movies, Freddy's real. He's killing.
Well, that's
people.
True.
This is a movie about a guy that's invading people's dreams.
He's not really real. He's only real in like the second one. But all right.
Are there 12 movies?
Yes.
Okay. Well, second on.
No. He's always in the. The only way you can beat Freddy is you got to bring him into the real world, and that's how he's real. So they do. They bring him in the real world in one. They bring him in the real world in two.
Okay.
Don't get me started.
Too late.
Sorry. Wait
till ding,
wait.
Ding.
Instead
wait,
of ding ding with
stab stab
slash,
brother.
Slash,
wait until December 22nd,
which is
Iron Claw.
Oh jeez, the whole movie's a ding ding.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we're doing Wonka.
You
that week.
Sons of bitches, we are not doing Wonka.
I think I'm sick that week.
I'll record it by myself. I don't care. Yes,
you will.
It's Mean Girls, I think. I don't know. But. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table, and everyone can say where to find
this. Them. Is Joe? You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts BUTTS21. Also on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R Brackett and subscribe to Circle of Wizards for your retro gaming fun.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/TomO'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course don't forget our Patreon, where for $5 a month you can get all sorts of bonus content.
As things calm down, we'll get back. Things have been a little crazy in both of our worlds. So
maybe that's your first bonus episode.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Here's what happened. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Chris joins Annie in hell.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.